Sportsnet's Eric Francis. It's time for Francis Fridays. For our good friends at Hyatt Infinity, lease the QX50 for 27 months, just $479 with $3,295 down on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane. Hello, franchise.
Hey, my man. It's great to hear your voice again, and it is even better to hear Logo include in the update that the Gulls are playing a big game tonight against the Okotoks Black team. It is going to be a great game here in Sylvan Lake.
You're
I got
in Sylvan,
my ticket.
Aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, this Sylvan Lake ball team has captured this. Like, this little city loves them, man. Tickets are sold out every game. The stadium is awesome. It's as quaint could be. People who are listening who go to the games at Okotoks, they know how great that ballpark is. You know how great that ballpark is. That is phenomenal. And, you know, you took a town, tiny little place like Sylvan, and they built this little stadium too. It is so magical. I love it. I'm so happy that it's here. And I can't believe, I'm assuming he included that just for me. But either way, good to give them some love because it's a great product.
I hate to break your heart. He's been including it all day, but
maybe it was just for you.
Nonetheless, though, I will say,
okay, fair enough.
I was at the Dogs game last night in Okotoks, and just looking now on the website, I heard rumors, and it's
right
now been confirmed. The Sylvan Lake Ballpark is essentially a smaller version of Siemens Stadium in Okotoks, which I think a lot of people listening have been to that stadium and know how terrific a facility it is. Yeah, the one in Sylvan looks like it's beautiful.
It's got
an
old-timey, quaint feel.
Yeah, it's going to be a great night at the ballpark, Eric.
It's me and 881 of my favorite people at Sylvan Lake are all going to be there. It's amazing. The tickets go on sale 5 days before every game, and I sit there at noon 5 days at sweating like a hog, just praying I can get my tickets because they're gone within minutes. Like, it's really taken over this little I don't even want to call it a city. I don't know what Sylvan Lake is, a town, a hamlet. It's just
definitely
you know,
a hamlet.
You guys know hamlets. I don't know. It's the infield is all artificial turf, like kind of like McMahon Stadium, which is really bizarre for me to see the batters get in and try to dig in. I mean, anyone who's ever played ball knows first thing you do is you get your cleats or your runners, you kind of dig them in as much as you can to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But when you don't have dirt, it's kind of bizarre to me. It's you know, it's filled with those little rubber grommets, so I guess you could still dig in. Seeing guys slide, they don't like sliding because you don't slide very far on that stuff when they're trying to steal a base, so there's not a lot of stealing going on. But cool product.
All right. By the way, Sylvan Lake is a town in central Alberta located 25 kilometers west of Red Deer along Highway 11 or Highway 11A, and it has a population of just under 15,000 people as of the last census. So that is what I believe the cutoff for village and hamlet to town. I don't know which way it goes, but I believe it's 9,000 in Alberta. I think if you're 9,000 and up, you're a town, I think. But that
is that
complete,
right?
That you know what? That's based on knowledge from like 25 years ago, so it could be completely inaccurate, and I might be just making myself sound like a bigger idiot than I usually do. So that could be completely erroneous.
So I've had a place out here for 15 years, and their motto is a town for all seasons. So right there I should have picked up on the fact that it's a town. But I'm sure when we first started coming here, I remember the sign out front, it was 7,500 people was the population, so maybe they did move from, I don't know, municipality to town. I don't know. I missed the ceremony.
I got the Alberta website right in front of me, just so
nice.
we can be perfectly accurate.
Let's
here
see
on
how
this
wrong
program.
I was.
So you're a hamlet if you're less than 300 people.
Okay.
You're a village if you're between 300 and 1,000.
Okay.
And a
okay.
town is between 1,000 and may exceed 10,000.
Then it's
unless
city.
They,
okay.
Unless they request to be a city. And, of course, a city is anything over 10,000.
Okay.
So you're almost on the money there.
But it was the town to
yeah.
city.
So Sylvan Lake's on the upper end of a town. They're on the verge of a city. Eric gets all his friends out there. They might be a city in 2 years, but for now they're a town. So enjoy the ball game tonight in the town of Sylvan Lake.
There you go. Well, thank you, and
We're all about accuracy on this program. So.
I'm telling you, from this moment on in this segment, this is the most you will learn. From now on, it's all a bunch of bull, right?
Yeah, bull bleep is what we call it.
Well, there you go. Let's start slinging then. Eric Francis with us in Sylvan Lake. It's Will and Pat with you as well on the Sports Drive at 5. What is going to happen with the current captain of the Calgary Flames, Mr. Francis? What does your gut say? Expansion protection lists are due tomorrow. We will find out officially what they look like on Sunday morning, and then the real fun begins for a few days. What's your gut say as to the fate of Mark Giordano?
Oh, I think he's played his last game as a Flame. I think, you know, first of all, I hope you guys all agree, there's zero chance that Seattle's passing up on Mark Giordano. Like, I've heard some people say, well, I don't know, he's 38 next year. I don't know.
I think your consensus with us, I think we all believe if he's there, Seattle will take him.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that's first thing, because he's an asset. At the end of the day, it's all about asset management, and he's a massive asset. And whether they flip him an hour later, a day later, a week later, at the trade deadline, or whether they make him the face of the franchise, or whether they sign him an extension, like, doesn't matter. They'll take that as it comes. He's an asset, and he's the biggest one that the Calgary Flames are going to leave unprotected. It's a no-brainer that they'll take him. The only question is, are the Flames going to be able to, you know, see the light and not see the light, I guess. Did they see the wisdom in coughing up more assets to keep him? And I think the answer is no. And so that's why I think he's playing his last game. I just don't see how you justify coughing up, you know, what I think would have to be a first or second round. It's got to be one of the two. I'm sure Seattle's holding out for a first right now, but maybe they fall to a second. Either way, a first or a second, that's a dear price to pay. I mean, it's not a dear price to pay for a top two defenseman. But it's a hard sell for me to be able to cough up, you know, a couple of draft picks to keep Mark Giordano. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think he's gone. That's the short answer.
Well, it has been, I mean, obviously, we've been talking about it all week. So Merrick reported on the 31 Thoughts podcast with Elliot today that he's hearing Seattle is looking, not just from the Flames, but around the league for situations like this, because there are other ones with them, that Seattle right now is asking price inside deals as a first and a third round pick, which is exorbitant, and I don't think that there's any way the Flames should pay that to protect a player from being taken. In saying that, I do think there is a threshold as to where you can make it make sense. It's just what, and I think most people see there's a threshold. Logan says sixth or seventh round pick. I think, Will, you're pretty down there as well. I'm maybe a little bit more that I could get on board with them giving up to keep their captain. But I think when it comes down to it, it's as a fan or as an observer, what you'd be most comfortable with them giving up. So if they can get Seattle down to something else, I think you can have a realistic conversation. But as of right now, if that's the asking price, I just don't see how that's realistic, whether it's Mark Giordano or most other players in this league that would be in this conversation.
Yeah, and I've been in the camp the whole time that this is not a team that should be in any spot to be trading any assets for protecting Mark Giordano. So I'm in the don't even do anything camp myself. I think wholeheartedly, Eric, to your point that he's played his final game in Calgary, it's a shame that it's going to end this way, but it is what it is, and I just don't think this team is in a spot right now where it makes any sense to be giving up anything to protect this player with 1 year left at the age of 37. We'll be 38 by the time the puck drops next October.
You know, and another part of this is, and I've been writing this for a long time, and is, you know, this team needs to affect significant change this offseason. I think we all agree to various degrees that obviously a shakeup of some sort is needed. And I don't know how they're going to do it because their assets are all diminished. It's hard to make trades in today's NHL, especially with a flat cap. I just don't know how they're going to be able to do it. If you lose your captain in the expansion draft because, well, that's just the way it goes. You have to lose somebody, and in this case it happens to be their captain. You're definitely affecting significant change on your roster. Now, of course, most people would say that's adverse change,
and I totally agree with that. But in terms of changing the culture, you know, at least it's a step towards changing the culture. And again, I'm not saying that's a good thing, because I think Mark Giordano is a good leader. I think he's a well-respected, beloved member of the community, and the team and the coaching staff love and respect him. Like, nobody wants to lose him in this organization, but it gives you a chance to start from scratch in terms of leadership, in terms of setting tone. And the other thing, guys, is it opens up $6.75 million. Like, it's not all bad for the Calgary Flames. You got to lose somebody. And this whole, like, I was fascinated by the Ryan Graves trade, you know, because in Colorado. And I knew as soon as they did it, you knew exactly why. I was like, well, we're going to lose him for nothing. We might as well get something for him. But, you know, Colorado's still going to lose another player on top of it, on top of those two players, you know, on top of losing Graves in the trade. I don't know. I you know, obviously at some point you just say, well, so what if you gave away, you'd basically be given, you know, they gave Ryan Graves away for a second rounder and a prospect. If you gave away Mark Giordano for, if you could get a second rounder and a prospect, I don't know. Does that sound a little more attractive to you guys? The other part of that is, though, you're really helping another team at that point in time. But, you know, in talking to Brad Treliving the other day, he says, look around, Eric, and tell me which teams don't have their seven forwards and three defensemen.
Well, that's just it, right? There's probably
you
like...
You can't make a trade.
There's probably like five or six that you could be like, okay, maybe you can make an argument that you could trade Geo to, and then they would protect him. And you know, five or six might be high.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't shock anyone that the Devils had some room. They could add a guy. But, you know, not many teams around the league, and I guarantee all those teams that did have space have already had phone calls from every GM in the league, probably dating back 2 months from now. Just saying, hey, by the way, are you interested in adding a third defenseman? And maybe we can talk, because we're going to lose Giordano, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. It'll be fascinating. Hey, we're in for a fascinating couple of weeks in the National Hockey League. Whether you're a Flames fan or Oilers fan, doesn't matter. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. And even if it doesn't involve trades, it's going to involve signings, and expansion draft will change so much. I'm fascinated to see what lies ahead. But I will say this, that there will be no surprises in Calgary tomorrow. When you see the seven forwards, the three defensemen, and the goalie, and the players who are exposed, we all have predicted for months who those are going to be.
Yep.
There will be no surprises there.
Eric Francis is with us from Sportsnet. So we're 12 days away from free agency, but we're also 12 days away from, depending on who you ask, guys, a hard deadline, a soft deadline, or an irrelevant deadline. Depends who you talk to. But that deadline is July 28th, because for Johnny Gaudreau, that's when his five-team trade list kicks in, which significantly limits Calgary's leverage in trying to make a trade if that is the way they want to, the road they want to go down. Now, Elliott has reported that conversations and discussions have begun on an extension for Gaudreau and the Calgary Flames. But, like, how much does that July 28th deadline loom? And does that put the accelerator on an actual answer as to Gaudreau's fate? Like, do you see news coming in the next 12 days, Eric?
Well, Will and I talked about this last week, and we both agreed that if he's not signed or traded by the 28th, then I think it's a fail by the organization. I really think that deadline is a hard deadline. It's a serious deadline. My guess, though, is neither will happen. That's my guess as to what's going to happen.
Now, would you back off?
Like,
what if they signed him in September? Would that still be a fail?
No, because they will have signed him then with less bargaining power, because the five-team trade, you know, pact turned, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm losing. The five teams, you know, will have kicked in, and the bargaining power for the Flames will have lessened, and then the deal will be even greater for the player, theoretically. I think that if that 28th comes and goes and he's still a Flame, like I believe he will be, then I think they'll clearly justify it by saying, hey, you know, we still got lots of time. We got a year to negotiate with Johnny Gaudreau. And we could still trade him if we needed to, you know, and that's why I think that's probably what's going to happen. You know, I've talked to a couple people, And there was a quote that I used from Brad Treliving the other day, saying, hey, you can shout from the rooftops all you want that you want to make trades or make, you know, make changes on your team. Well, you need a partner. And this is the bottom line when it comes to Johnny Gaudreau. You know, I don't know how many teams are interested or can fit him into their roster. That cap hit, which is a team-friendly cap hit, he's a hell of a player. I'm not trying to diminish him. I'm just saying he's a rental at this point in time. He's a one-year rental, and whoever trades for him will pay accordingly. I don't know. What do you think is going to happen? Bat on the 28th. What is going to happen?
I don't think we'll have news between now and the 28th.
Okay, we agree on that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Will?
No, I think it'll be quiet, too. I think for the most part, you know, and this is maybe why I'm so strong on don't do anything to protect Giordano, is for this team wanting to make a major change to their core, I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think. And I think that you cut off, as I said before, not to single the one guy out, but the longest tenured member of that core and your leader. If you're getting rid of that, that's a massive change to your group. So that's where I'm at.
You know, I have to just throw in there, and I don't know where you want to go next, but I will say this: of all the names that kind of have been loosely linked to the Calgary Flames, you know, the one that I think is the makes the most sense. It's not all roses. There's some pluses and minuses. But Zach Hyman, to me, is the type of player that the Calgary Flames need more than anyone else. A guy who, honestly, they lose Giordano. You could bring Hyman in and consider putting an A on his jersey. Like, this is a guy who's a heart and soul player, and that's the biggest thing we've questioned about this Calgary Flames team, right?
But would you go 6 or 7 years for a 29-year-old Hyman?
That's why I'm saying it's not all roses. You know what I mean? And you're going to overpay for him because you're bidding with 8 or 9 other teams reportedly in the running. And then, of course, you know, his preference is to remain a Leaf. So he'd be willing to take a little less to stay in Toronto. No, don't get me wrong. It's not like there should be a ticker tape parade if that's who they sign. I'm just saying, of all the names, he's the one that makes me go, huh.
Agreed.
Now that, I think people could get behind and get excited about, because this team needs... Skill is not the problem, I don't think, on this team so much as the mental side, as we touch, you know, based on what Milan Lucic said at the end of the year, it was all between the ears. You know, this team said after 3 games last year, they admitted after the season is over that they thought it was going to be easy. Like, you know, again, if you're a professional hockey player and you think something's going to be easy, man, you got to give your head a shake. So, Zach Hyman never thought anything in life was ever going to be easy, and he proved that by taking the hard route to get to where he's at. And so, to me, he's just the type of player. I know you got to overpay. I know it's 6 years for a 29-year-old. Like, I get that it's pretty scary in a lot of ways, but I do think he's the type of player that could help turn things around faster than most.
I just think there needs to be, like, a walk-away point, and I think 6 or 7 years is very much in that range. For a guy like that. Like, if you could get him at 5 years at $5 million, I still think that's an overpay, but at the very least, like, you're like, okay, small market, small NHL market, sometimes you have to give that extra little bit to bring a player in. So I could understand that. 6 or 7 years, I just, that kills you. And you know, then we're talking about Brouwer and we're talking about Neil. That's what they need to avoid at all costs, is those type of deals. They're still paying for James Neal now. So that would worry me a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, totally fair. You know, again, it all depends on what sort of term you could get him on and how much and what the price is. I mean, like any deal.
Yeah.
But in terms of the type of player, like, you know, there are some people who get excited and say, oh, my God, we should try to get Tarasenko. Like, you know, only a handful of players, I think, have scored more goals in the NHL than Tarasenko in the last 5-6 years. I'm like, okay, but Tarasenko's $7.5 million. He's coming off 3 straight surgeries. It sounds like it didn't go that well. You know, it's never all, you know, plus, plus, plus. There are minuses to every signing out there or trade acquisition. I'd be much more excited about a Hyman coming than there is, you know, Tarasenko. And, hey, you're losing $6.75 million, you know, most likely, by losing Mark Giordano. It's easy to justify spending, you know, some good money on a guy like Hyman for year one. But don't forget, Mangiapane needs a deal next year.
Yep.
So does Tkachuk. These guys aren't going to come cheap. So you got to save your bullets. You can't, you know, just say, oh, we lost 6.75. Let's go sign a big free agent.
Yeah.
This year, yeah, you gain that much. But next year, it's maybe already accounted for.
Good stuff, my friend. I must say that I went on my first kind of pseudo vacation in quite some time last week. I drove out to Vancouver in the Q50S, did not get one ticket. That thing in passing lanes, because you know what it's like between Kamloops and Hope. That's between Lake Louise and Kamloops, rather. You know what it's like. You get stuck behind vehicles for a little bit. When you hit that passing lane, unbelievable. It was the most enjoyable driving experience I ever had. So there's my Hyatt Infinity love story. What's happening?
That's awesome. You know, it's funny. I have a little love in too. My son and his two buddies, they're 11, and they decided that they were going to go around knocking on doors up here at the cottage, asking for people's bottles. And I just fit $101 worth of empties in my QX60. There's an ad for buying the vehicle, isn't there? Like, you can get $100 worth of recyclables in there. And yes, I put a tarp down to make sure that there were no drips and drabs and didn't ruin the car. But there's my little pitch for the QX60. You can fit a lot of cans and bottles in there, a lot of rum.
Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week. It'll be draft day when we talk next week. We'll be setting up for an important day again. Let's see what happens in the next few days for the Flames, and we'll hear you Monday on the morning show.
It'll be fascinating. Cheers, boys. Have a great weekend.